This is ContraCast,
the show about tech, gadgets, games, and general geekiness.
Welcome to ContraCast, episode 32. This is 420, Bob Marley and Hitler's birthday, and April.
Pulaski's birthday.
Also Stephen Pulaski's birthday. April 28, 2010. My name is Paul Gwiatkowski, and with me today are my two venerable co-hosts, Mike Pulaski.
How you guys doing?
And John Gwiatkowski.
What's up, guys?
And today we have a pretty much single-focus show. The last time we did this was when the iPad got announced, and just yesterday, Gizmodo unveiled the new iPhone. So we're going to talk about that mostly, but we have a few other things to talk about as well. First off, how are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Mike, you are sitting next to me, and I say sitting because you could not be standing right now. Want to fill everyone in on why that is?
I am currently sitting in my chair, soaking my feet in a bucket of water because I have sprained both my ankles, which is very inconvenient, especially when it's nearing the end of school and I have exams coming up. One is actually worse than the other one, and when I'm using my crutches, it hurts my lesser foot a lot, so I'm hoping that one will heal better so I can, use the crutches more effectively. I do have, like, a campus service that takes me around. They're not that great, though. I'm sure everybody wants to know how I did it, and it's not very interesting at all.
Balcony.
Yes, I jumped over what you would call a balcony, even though it is not a balcony at all. I pulled something John would do and ninja my way over this balcony, only to find that it was another 15 feet before I would hit the ground at a sloped angle on concrete. I did not roll my ankle, I just landed straight down and perfectly on my feet, except for I was going very fast and landed on hard ground that was at a sloped angle. So, my brother took me to the hospital later that night at like 5:30 because I couldn't sleep, and I waited there for about 6 hours before they told me that my foot was sprained and not broken or fractured, and that I would need crutches and a brace. So, that's pretty much what's been going on for the past weekend for me.
Yeah, Mike has been limping around, and it's, you know, limping around. John, what have you been up to?
Just wrapping up school. I mean, as of today, I've got 1 day left. And, so I've got 1 day left. Sorry, I had a little feedback there. 1 week left with school. I've got nothing really due except a big group project that we're presenting on Friday.
Wait, so you have 1 week left?
Next Wednesday is a reading day before exams. I'm done, May 4th is my last exam.
Wow, you're kidding. Because May 4th is our last day of school for us.
Nice.
So, last day of classes, I would say. And then the exams start for us. We have reading day, I think, the 6th. And exams start for us, like, the 7th.
Yeah, they're a little ways out.
Yeah, they're actually 2 weeks out for us. So, I have a couple more tests before exams. And I got to study really hard for exams.
Yeah, I've got one paper due tomorrow, a presentation on Quentin Tarantino due Thursday.
Nice.
That I'm doing class, and paper due sometime soon.
So I see in the show notes you got a job interview, John. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, I finally heard back from my possible job for the summer, which will be working at a sports camp. Woohoo!
Sports camp.
Only upside is that's nights and weekends off.
So.
There's a very high chance I'll get hired for this. It's, it's a moderate pay, but I mean, it's gonna be near full-time hours. So.
What will you be doing exactly?
basically I'll be in control of a group of kids that I can use as my pawns.
Well,
I know how to play sports such as bowling, football, and basketball.
Sounds like a lot of fun dealing with underage children, which is definitely not my department because I'm very impatient with kids.
Dude, it's not quite mine either, but if it's my job, I can make it a good one.
That is true. So, Paul, I heard you got a job offer. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this. As maybe some of you know, I've been I've been working with a company for a while now, since January, as an intern, unpaid, and I just got offered a paid position for the whole summer, which is awesome.
And possibly for past that, right?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that later. but I'm pretty excited about that. So let's move on to our first piece of news, and that is something Mike found, and it is something that got completely lost in the flood of Gizmodo content about the new iPhone. But it is that a Mexican tech blog got their hands on an HP Slate. So what can you tell me about that, Mike?
Well, there wasn't really much information about the HP Slate. They do have confirmed pictures of it with a stand, and the stand seems to connect to it through the bottom, which has four or six ports where you can plug in USB, and then there's an HDMI port, which is interesting, and then it's got a headphone port. I'm sure the device actually has a headphone port in itself. I know the pictures are actually confirmed that it's the HP Slate. As far as I know, Gizmodo is claiming it does not have a full on-screen keyboard, but that it will actually run. It was running full Windows 7. The tech company said they weren't really impressed with the HP Slate. I don't know exactly why, but I'm not going to base my opinions about it on just their, trashy review, which is what I'm talking about, because there's no information on this at all. I mean, they just have
funny.
A couple pictures.
After seeing this, and after seeing more of what the iPad is capable of, it was very easy for us to hate on it early on. But in all honesty, I want one now.
Definitely. I want at least an iPad or the HP Slate. If the HP Slate is better than the iPad, or if it just
there's certain things about it that I'm really unimpressed with. I mean, for instance, it's a 1024x600 display, so it has even lower
resolution.
Vertical resolution than the iPad. Now, of course, it's got the Hulu stuff, and it's got other.
I know what it has that I didn't include. It has a front. I believe it has a front or back camera.
Yeah, front and back cameras.
Yeah.
But there's a number of things that it has a leg up on, but when it comes down to it, it's going to have a magical interface like the iPad has to be a success. And I really don't think it'll be that big a deal,
I really don't either, because...
And they also had this leaked HP Slate specs document from about a week ago. We can look at that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's an internal document from HP, and it's comparing the HP Slate versus the iPad. So they're giving an HP advantage, and they're giving an iPad advantage. So, for instance, the HP Slate is only a 8.9-inch screen with a lower resolution. The iPad has a nearly inch bigger screen and higher resolution. And it's just odd how they describe it. Glossy multi-touch with IPS technology, ambient light sensor, fingerprint resistant. And whereas the HP Slate has other, interesting stuff. It has pen digitizer support, which they are giving a leg up to, which is kind of weird.
It does have 1080p output, as we saw with the HDMI thing, but I really don't understand how they would do that and why they would do that if it doesn't even have, good enough resolution to display 1080p on the Slate itself.
Well, the Zune HD has 720p output, it doesn't necessarily
have. Oh, yeah, that's true, but it's saying 1080p playback, and I don't understand.
So we've got a faster processor, 1.6 GHz Intel Atom Menlo. But the thing is, it's got a 1.6 GHz processor there, but they're saying that's a leg up on the iPad one. But you have to remember that the HP Slate. The iPad has apps written for that, an iPhone, and it does not multitask right now, and the HP Slate is going to be running things that are written for Windows. So I really would not be psyched about running like Photoshop on a one core 1.6 gigahertz processor. I mean, I run it; it does okay on two gigahertz cores. But
now is this confirmed like stuff for the iPad or not? The iPad,
yeah, this is an internal HP document. So this is something that they created.
Okay, so
we got like this camera business. It's a little more expensive, $549, $599. For the two different sizes of it. We don't have wireless N for some strange reason. We just have wireless B and G, which is too bad, given that it's...
Probably the same space or something.
Not really. I mean, it's the same size card. It's like they're cutting costs, basically. But, I mean, we'll see when it comes out. I don't know if we'll know anyone who gets a hands on one. It's funny, I saw there was like a renew your lease for 2 years thing today. For university club apartments, and you get a free iPad if you do. which is
U like, Club for renewing?
Which is funny because it's only $350 a month there, but then I was thinking about it, and they wanted you to renew for 2 years. So it's pretty much committing to being there for quite a while for a fee.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be there anyway, I'd say it's worth it if you're getting a $500 product.
Yeah, but... The thing is, if you're not working, I guess it's worth it, but it's only a $500 product, and you're paying $350 a month, so it's like 24 times.
Well, if you're
going to
be staying, I'm
just
saying if you're going to be staying there anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess they're trying to get people that are maybe juniors and seniors that are thinking they're going to move out and go somewhere else, or, you know. So, who knows? But let's move on to the next topic, which is the big topic. We're going to, Mike and I saw Kick-Ass last night, the film about superheroes, and we are going to review that after we talk about the iPhone leaking, but that's probably going to be in 20 minutes. So let's get right into it. Yesterday morning, I pull up my iPod in class, and there was a story on Twitter from Gizmodo that said this is the next iPad proof and like other something included. And I was like, oh wow, this could be very interesting. And turns out it was. So some guy named Gray Powell, a North Carolina State University 2006 graduate, and a talented amateur photographer, is an Apple software engineer working on the iPhone baseband program. The little program that enables the iPhone to make calls. So, he was at a bar in California, and, the gourmet house stout. And he somehow left an iPhone, which was in a case that made it look like a 3GS, on a bar stool. Or on the counter or something, left. And some guy found it after he'd left and said, was this that guy's thing? And he ended up bringing it home. And he was trying to find the guy's contacts or something and poked around the phone, saw the new UI and everything, and said, this isn't the typical iPhone. And that very night, before the guy woke up the next morning, Apple bricked the phone remotely. So they made it be able to do nothing. And then a couple weeks pass, and this guy, I guess he contacts Gizmodo or something, and...
No, he actually tried to call Apple.
Yeah, he tried to call Apple.
He called Apple several times and opened up tickets and tried to explain what happened,
he said
but no one believed him.
He said he thinks he has an iPhone prototype, and they all pushed him away. So he eventually, he sold it to Gizmodo for $5,000.
Really smart on his part.
Really smart on his part, but also incredibly smart on Gizmodo's part.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the number of views that are on things, like today, 36 hours after they released the article, there were over about 66,500,000 views on that article by itself.
Yeah. On Gizmodo. Which is unbelievable.
I mean, go to the, this is Apple's, go up there to the top. So here's, 6,581,784 views as of right now. And this came out yesterday at 10 a.m. So it has been exactly 36 hours. Yeah. And
that's insane.
It's been retweeted 33,522 times. I don't know why your dig thing isn't showing, but it's been dug up over 9,000 times.
Wow.
Over 9,000 times?
Yeah.
that's a lot, Paul.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, I can't even imagine. $5,000 was a small price to pay for the amount of money they could make from ads off of that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That's amazing.
And off of Gizmodo viewers, you know, and the number of people that will see the site for the first time, and so on and so on.
Alright, so Gizmodo gets their hands on this phone. It's obviously bricked. They can't do anything with the software.
They can plug it into the computer, though, and the computer recognizes that it's an iPhone. So from there, they poke around, and they come to the conclusion that there's no way this cannot be, at the very least, an iPhone prototype, and most likely the next iPhone. 6 weeks from now is the Worldwide Developers Conference, and around 6 weeks from now, and basically they have to have a working phone 6 weeks before where they're expected to reveal it. The WWDC is a big event for Apple, and this, all indications point to this being the next iPhone. So, first impressions, John.
First impressions?
Design.
I think it would fit in the hand a lot better than the previous one. Because, like, while I love the curved back of the current iPhone,
uh-huh.
A squared back fits my hand better.
Yeah.
Curved one just seems to, like, you get, you know, you got a little grease on the phone or whatnot, and it's just going to, like, slide out like a banana. All
right, Mike, first impressions.
First impressions is, I wonder why they went with the more squared edges than the rounded ones, and it seems to me, like, I really like it. I believe it would be a lot better than trying to hold this very, like, thin hand
with your
curved edges. And,
sorry about that, folks. We had some technical difficulties, calls kept being dropped on John's end, but we're back now. So, it was my initial impressions, I think, for the iPhone 4. And to tell you the truth, this is the most wanted iPhone I've ever seen, at least my personal wantedness. Gosh, I haven't seen a phone this attractive in a long time. I love the squareness of, and to me, let me be perfectly honest, the design of this reminds me of another gadget which I owned for 2 weeks, which had incredible industrial design.
Okay.
Then I returned it because it was not functional for me. This, however, comes with built-in functionality, and
built-in functionality.
It looks really, really cool. And you know,
if you haven't seen it, folks, we'll post a link for you guys to check it out.
Yeah.
There's several pictures on Gizmodo. It's all over the web.
So let's talk about a few of the changes this time around that have not been there in the past. So previously on Lost, we had an iPhone that has a basically seamless back and front. There's an obvious seam around the glass, but it's not that noticeable. You've got a shiny rim that it goes into a black or white back. This one does not have a seamless rim by any means. It has it looks like the Zune, in that you've got a black front that is actually matte like the Zune,
Having a little trouble there, Paul?
Back and front to the Zune.
Sounded
to
awesome.
The eye. Four.
To the Zune?
Okay.
I might want to do the other parts of it.
Alright. Because
I take over for Paul, but he's lacking.
I think it's that walnut and honey shrimp. The iPhone 4 has a back. I can't even do it when I'm trying. The iPhone 4 has a black back and the black front.
I think
and the silver. The silver medal. I was so happy that I lost my train of thought. Chrome. The Chrome, Apple logo, and iPhone text on the back. Also, there are little breaks in the silver lining around the edges. Get it? Silver lining. And the volume button is split into two separate buttons that are both circles. There are two microphones on this new iPhone, perhaps for noise cancellation, so it can tell from where you are talking and cancel the more noisy one. Unlike previous ones, the SIM card slot is on the side instead of the top. The back of this iPhone is completely flat, as is the front. From the top, though, it looks like a standard iPhone. However, on the sides and back, it is totally different. It features the same size glass screen with greatly improved resolution. Camera flash. It is unclear if it is the 960 by 640 display, but it certainly looks like it. If it had that much display, it would be more than twice the resolution of the current iPhone. They say it has a slightly smaller screen than the 3GS. However, I have an example where I think that, I don't even know what I'm saying right now. So basically, I think that the new iPhone has a smaller seeming screen because they cut out the black area around it. You know how the little tiny layer of non-animated stuff around the screen? I think they probably just pushed that out.
Yeah.
So what else do we have? It's 3 grams heavier. Everything is more squared off. Aluminum border going completely around the outside. Split buttons for volume. Power, mute, and volume buttons are all metallic rather than plastic. Secondary mic. We have a backward and forward-facing cameras, and the backward-facing camera has a significantly larger lens than the 3GS. 16% larger battery. When they broke it open, they say the battery is about 50% of the internals, and everything else seems to have been cut in two-thirds, I guess. It's down to about a third of the size of the stuff it previously was. It appears to have the A4 processor that is in the iPad.
That's good.
And it's very, very nice looking. So
it actually makes me want it more than an iPad now, and it actually makes me think that there's a future for the iPad 3G or whatever, that they might actually include, you know, the iPhone 4 stuff on it as far as like a camera or something else. Maybe it might be possible.
Yeah.
Or that it might be something in the later future that they include on the iPad.
So far, I mean, there's no indication it's coming to Verizon yet.
Let's just pray it goes to Verizon.
The more I think about it, the less I'm concerned. I mean, chances are I'll be buying a phone around time I graduate anyway. So
it did say it had a smaller mini SIM card.
Micro SIM, I think. Basically, the reasons I think it's definitely real instead of fake are it connects to iTunes as a iPhone. It's running iPhone OS 4 before it was bricked. Apple connected John Gruber from Daring Fireball says that Apple has indeed lost a prototype and they want it back.
Do they want it back in one piece or dissected? Like his motos, don't do it.
Well, they put it back together.
Yeah. I think the most striking thing about this is that the design looks tremendously updated for, I mean, it makes the 3G look ancient when put next to it, you know? I don't know how to describe it other than that. I guess the 3G, it's a little, 3GS, it stands a little taller, it's a little thicker. But there's something about its design, I guess when compared next to this, that just looks like it came from 2008 and 2009. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This looks like a brand new piece of hardware, and it's not just because it is brand new. I mean, this type of design is very new, because we're starting to see gadgets come out in, with matte colors instead of shine. And so looking at this next to really, really shiny 3G.
Because I think they did it for one reason, because anything shiny is going to get scuffed up and show, like, wear. Like, a matte finish on the outside, like, new iPhone, it makes, that can have a lot of wear and still look brand new.
It makes me laugh, kind of, because now that Apple's doing this, it's funny, if you think back, my original brown Zune has the same kind of texture, the Zune HD had roughly the same kind of design philosophy.
it has the same kind of, like, layering, where it's just black, silver, black, and it's, like, more of a, it's got more of a shape to it than rather just, like, a rounded thing. And it just seems like something that would be from the earlier days of technology, but only it's like more, it's, you know, it's much more advanced than the 3GS.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, looking at it next to the other, the 3GS, there is, I don't know, it looks really, really gorgeous, for a phone. I mean, compared to the Nexus One, which I've never even been that big of a fan of its styling, this looks way better, you know, but yeah, it remains to see what it'll be on. I mean, we can guarantee it'll be on AT&T, obviously. This is without question one of the most gorgeous phones I've ever seen.
I have to say that since they have a phone of prototype of this, you know, caliber, where they say Gizmodo claims that it's basically off the factory, and they're basically, if they have a phone like this that they're actually testing in the field already.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed to be announced by the summer and released by winter year.
This will probably
be, I mean, when you look at
being
going ball.
In July, I would bet you.
Really?
Especially, I think the Worldwide Developers Conference is going to be in mid to late June, and in that case, there's almost no question that it's coming out in July. They've had a new iPhone in July since 2007. I don't think they're going to stop now. And they have hinted at there being new hardware, and, you know, I mean, this is gorgeous. I think this, to me, this looks like something they already had in the works, but it takes some of the cues from the stuff like the Droid did, you know, and the Nexus One, and the Zune HD, and all sorts of other gadgets. I bit my tongue.
Mm-hmm. One thing, after looking at the internals, it definitely looks like it's a roll off the assembly line. I mean, like a first or second round prototype for a phone. Parts are just going to be mixed and matched. It's not going to be in a closed form. This, I mean, when I dissect it, everything's put together like it would be in a final product. So, I mean, looking at it, it says to me that they've already got the facilities to create this as of now.
Yeah, I think at this point there's no question that it is. Then there was another question that people had that was, like, for instance, even Apple wrote an article about it. A lot of people think that this is a leak.
And but it's not.
It's not even on, like, Keith Olbermann's show tonight. It's been discussed all over the place. I don't think it's a leak.
Apple would go to these great lengths
and,
to do this.
And I'll tell you, I mean, they had a full article about this that said that where they debunked, basically they worked to debunk this myth that it's a leak. And, I mean, I think that if it was a leak, that it would be a big deal, and it would have been equally successful. However, I think maybe even as implausible as people think this whole found in bar story is, and they've gotten a letter from Apple asking for it back. But I think the biggest thing here is that, they don't have a good relationship with Gizmodo for one. So, apparently back a couple years ago, Gizmodo had a bunch of stories about Steve Jobs' failing health. And the second that they published all those stories, this is before he got like a liver transplant stuff, before they published all those, like the second they published them all, Apple pulled all its advertising from Gizmodo. So, abandoned them. So they're not a big fan. And on top of that, Apple has not leaked a product in,
a long time.
Long time. Considering that no one, until the night before the iPad was released, or was announced, no one knew what it looked like. There had been a few pictures on Engadget of, like, the day before that looked like they might be something that it looked like. But honestly, the first time that we actually knew for sure what the iPad was the second that Steve Jobs was holding one on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that wholeheartedly. They're definitely not going to leak it out. And plus, David, to go to these great lengths to, you know, leak a phone out like that, I mean, it just doesn't sound like Apple at all.
No. And especially because, I mean, they had another reason. They said that they made the most money selling iPhones they've ever made in, like, the first 3 months of this year.
Yeah.
So announcing one right now, and especially one like this, would not only hurt iPhone sales, it hurt iPad sales as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, looking at this, I mean, because, yeah, this does definitely make me want an iPad less. You know, I know this is the same size screen as my current iPod and stuff, but... Mm-hmm.
It's a phone, and it has cameras.
It is gorgeous. It is a phone. It has two cameras. You know,
running the new software.
And you can count on this being, you know, way faster than a 3GS. I mean, by a factor of, I don't know what factor I'd go by. A huge factor.
Another thing I want to mention, Paul, is on the back of the phone, it actually had gig size, and it said it had two X's.
Yeah,
So they didn't know how big the gigs were for it. So there's no real speculation of how big it's going to be, or how large they're going to make it. I'm really interested to see if it's just going to stick with the standard, you know, 32, 64.
I think because right now they have they don't even have a 64. Right now they have a 8 gig, which is $100, and they have a $200 16 gig. And a $300 32 gig.
Yeah.
And you think we'll probably end up seeing, do you think we'll see a $100 version of this phone?
Or I doubt it.
See a $100 32 gig or 16 gig?
I would have to say it depends on what contract they sign with the network. Because I know the network is going to want to market
I have to wonder.
Not cheap, but, you know.
Maybe they'll start selling 3GS's at $100, and they'll sell these, you know, iPhone 4s at $200 and $300.
That makes sense.
Because...
That makes sense, but who wants the old model when the new one's out there?
Well, you can say that, but they make a lot of money on the 3G $99 ones. By selling, I mean,
yeah.
Because people want to buy the plan or whatever, and so...
Okay, it's only $100, I mean...
Yeah, it's $100, and so people, like... I mean, if you are looking at this phone, like the major points for a lot of people are just it can't take video, and they don't care about the speed. So it's really just, you know, they think they're getting the same phone, and so $100. I mean, because I think a lot of people. I mean, remember, most people when they buy a phone, I think that most people are still looking at the price of the phone. I mean, because I don't think the price matters that much compared to the contract.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at $100. You're paying $100 a month for a single person to have that $100 iPhone.
I mean, I know the phone we actually currently own is legitly, if you buy it brand new without a contract, it is $400.
Well, that's, yeah. Because I mean, we're talking with a contract, you know, obviously. But it is very enticing. I mean, I have not... When they revealed the 3GS, I remember people talking about speed, but I just remember it being faster. The 3G looked a lot prettier than the original iPhone. Gosh, the original iPhone looks like it was designed in 2004 now or something, you know.
Yeah.
Come think about it, it could have been. But we will keep you posted on this story about the new iPhone 4. Certainly... Very enticing, and I would not be surprised if we do ContraCast 80, and all three of us are on it at all, unless it's not on Verizon or their network, in which case, I don't know, AT&T would have to really improve their network, cut the prices for plans. So, we are down to the home stretch. So, Mike and I saw the film Kick-Ass last night. So if you're offended by the word ass, that's unfortunate because it's the title of this movie. I will probably say it 5 or 6 or 10 more times. So, Mike, first impressions. How was Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass was fantastic. The plot was better than I thought it would be. I love it when I go into movies and I'm expecting one thing for the plot, and they actually send me something else, you know, the previews, you know, show you kind of what it's going to be like, and you're like, oh, I got this idea of what it's going to be.
You mean,
and
that
like,
not
no.
You mean that it's not a man on a mission movie and instead focuses on a French girl named Shoshana?
Yeah, I know. The main character is the main character, but he's not the main character, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be giving any spoilers. We might give spoilers to the movie.
Just give more spoiler alert, they'll be here.
It may slip. We'll try not to, though. So, I thought the exact same thing. I was expecting the movie to be good. I knew that it had received some extremely positive feedback at, like, Comic-Con and other places. Where it was initially demoed at one convention, and it got such tremendous praise that it was signed with a major studio, like, that day, because it was basically an indie film, and they showed off some scenes and got full funding for it.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's not for everyone, obviously. I mean, if the title doesn't tell you, there is much, much violence in the film.
Oh, yes, lots of violence.
I mean, when I say, I don't know, I'm not sure. There's the violence, in part, it's not so, the violent stuff isn't so bad compared to other movies. It's just that there are scenes, I told Ron, who's watching all this, I said, this feels like Passion of the Christ without the Christ. For parts of it, because there are some brutal times when there are some
definitely 300 worthy scenes in there. There is 300 worthy scenes, but it's not as like they don't really you know like cut someone's head off and then focus on it, you know.
No, this to me this was Nicolas Cage's best role since Lord of War, and
oh, I would have to say that.
And
too.
That was itself the best role since a long time.
Yeah, you know? I love it when Nicolas Cage gets roles like this. I don't like it when he gets roles like
this is so much better than his other stuff. I mean, this is him in this
much
movie.
Better than his recent stuff.
But even older stuff. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Con Air. I think that accent is terrible. This is
Con Air
is endlessly better than Con Air.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I like this a whole lot more than The Rock. To me, The Rock would have been an awful movie if it wasn't for one Con Seanery in the film. But I mean, I think other than him, I mean, it was just everyone was in the perfect role. You know,
I'd have to say so too.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who played McLovin in Superbad. Was just as funny in this. I didn't even realize it, but he quotes the Joker from Tim Burton's Batman all the time.
Oh, really?
So that last line, wait till they get a load of me, when he says, as someone has said before, wait till they get a load of me. That was the Joker in original
Batman. So he's nerd enough to be able to quote the Joker.
And Nicolas Cage's character, like, he thinks he's Adam West's Batman. You know? He acts like 1960s Batman. Come on, hit girl, back to headquarters!
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, he has real cheesy sayings, but the thing is, they don't overuse them. It's just like,
you know,
it's really funny in that aspect. I'm trying to say stuff without giving away spoilers to John, because I really don't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be watching it for a while, probably, so go ahead and give them away.
I think if you go in looking for a really fun ride and you are not easily offended, this is a really, really great movie to watch.
I thought the girl actor, I don't know her name, was fantastic.
I can't remember too.
She played more of a role than I thought.
She did that movie when she was 11 years old.
Oh yeah.
And
I don't know what
she has probably the best action scenes in the movie. I mean, good grief. Other than that one with Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage has a scene that, when you watch it, you will think of one scene and one scene only. And the scene, number one, it has awesome music with it, and I cannot even remember. But it's in so many other action movies. I think it's in Equilibrium, I think it's in Sin City at some point, I think. But, it's awesome, and it reminds you of, like, Leonidas going to town in 300. It reminds me of Watchmen, too. Some scenes in that.
It really compared to is the one scene where you see Nicolas Cage just basically kicking ass is...
Don't say.
Is just that one scene is so awesome, and it just reminds you of 300 because they have the stop-motion fighting... To where, like, you see him, you know, You don't remember the stop motion of him?
Not like, stop motion, slow motion.
Or, well, like, in 300.
What they do is they speed it up. They either
they slow it down.
They speed up to normal speed, basically, and then they slow it back down. They do it really effortlessly. So
that's what I'm saying, 300 is exactly what they did.
I need walnut shrimp. so, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it was just a tremendous amount of fun. It has a really great soundtrack. There was one point in the movie that uses the theme song, the main theme from For a Few Dollars More. And it's instantly recognizable as an Ennio Morricone song. And that, I mean, this movie looks like something that Quentin Tarantino could have directed. And I say that in the best possible way. It's very clearly inspired by his stuff, you know.
So what I'm getting for you guys is, you guys really disagree with Roger Ebert in this film.
Because
he gave it a 1-star and said he hated it.
He gave it a 1-star and he said that the film focuses too much on the violence and the profanity that the 11-year-old girl says.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I really, really like Ebert's reviews on most things. But
I'm not to disagree with
this review I did not agree with, and he argues that video games can never be art.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in show 33.
That'll be the next show, but
I want us to prepare a few things before we do that.
Before we talk about Roger Ebert, yeah.
I really do like Ebert's reviews on almost everything, though.
I mean, I love, every time a new movie comes out, I read the review on it and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Cause so I was wondering what your take was on this one being, you know, he hasn't given out a 1-star review in a while.
I think, oh no, he has. He gives them all.
I was looking at, like, the bigger movies that have come
out. Because this movie is getting pretty high acclaim. Let me go to RottenTomatoes.com, the internet site. Actually, Rotten Tomatoes. I don't go to Rotten Tomatoes. I go to Metacritic. Or Rotten Tomatoes. I don't care. Whichever. Metacafe. Alright.
Another movie. John, have you seen, kind of off topic. Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon, that movie?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really?
I really enjoyed that movie.
I heard it got great reviews, and I really...
Yeah, it was, I mean, you can be played off as, like, either a kid's movie or something that we would really enjoy from the humor and such in it. And I laughed the entire time.
This has gotten a 66, on Metacritic. And it's got, okay, so we've got New York Daily News gives it a 20%, so 1 out of 5. Chicago Sun-Times, which Roger Ebert, gives it a 1-star out of 4. So, alright, here's what his synopsis. Will I seem hopelessly square if I find Kick-Ass morally reprehensible and I will appear to have missed the point? Let's say you're a big fan of the original comic book and you think this movie does it justice. You know what? You inhabit a world I am so very not interested in. I think, honestly, I don't know. I mean, this movie is not aimed at him. Neither are video games, to the point. So I can clearly see why he doesn't think they're art, and in the same token, I can see why he is not interested in this movie, you know. But on the high notes, we go up to, let's say, Empire, a ridiculously entertaining, perfectly paced, ultra-violent cinematic rush that kicks the places other movies struggle to reach. Time. Kick-Ass moves with such bloody assurance that you'd be forgiven for not seeing how smart it is. But smart. It is. Smart, important, and deadly. There's a vastly greater quantity of green reviews, which are 70 or 60 and up, than there are 60 and below. But, I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed the movie. I think that if you are okay with violence and stuff, then you will like this movie. And if not, you know, don't see it. That simple. So, it is about time that we wrap things up this evening.
You know, we want to talk about the contests?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
we'll talk about this real quick. So last week we had an awesome contest where you can win an incredible $4 mouse. And we would ship it to you for free. We've had such tremendous feedback, though, in this contest that iTunes has apparently decided to lose every review that was submitted. Because there's no way that no one submitted a review, right? I mean,
we have people listening.
How could
you
write a three-sentence review to win a mouse? And, you know. But no one has said anything about a mouse or iTunes. So we're going to extend the contest for another week. And hopefully, you guys listening, will put your 2 cents in on the iTunes feed and give us a review. And the most creative, funny, interesting, whatever that is judged by us will win. So hopefully some of you do. This week, all you had to do was type a 3 cents or 2 cents or 1 cent review, and we would have mailed you a mouse. If you can't, we don't have video, but I just put my hands at the side and shrugged. So, that is all for that. And so, Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me at twitter.com/ Mike Plowski. And guys, please write those reviews. We definitely want to give away this mouse.
Mike, that's a backslash.
Oh, backslash.
Forward slash goes forward.
On the bottom. What are you talking about?
Backslash?
Twitter.
Forward slash.
Did I say forward slash or backslash?
You say forward slash. There's three backslashes in that.
Forward slash?
No.
Now you're getting confusing, Paul.
The forward slash is where the bottom of the slash points forward, and backslash is where it points back.
Basically, no one uses forward slash. Wrap it up.
Forward slash is like hardly ever used.
Okay, so backslash MikePlask@twitter.com.
Yeah. And John, where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter at J_Kwiatkowski.
Gotcha.
And Facebook at John.Kwiatkowski.
You can find me at ContraPaul on Twitter. You can find the show at ContraCast.blogspot.com. And you can find the show on Twitter at ContraCast. So if you want to just keep up with show news and contests and a little bit of other stuff, that's where you can keep up with it. So for me, for John, for Mike, and for my computer, we will talk to you next Tuesday.